everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Let Me Tell You Why. I'm your host, Tyler Webster, joined as always by my co-host, Danielle Lorenz.
Hello.
And today's topic is topicless.
We don't have one.
We have none. We're actually experimenting with a different format. So be as vocal. I mean, we get letters and emails and comments all the time. It's on a second to second basis that we're getting blown up. So we're trying something new. So be vocal with us. If you vibe with this, if you don't vibe with this, tell somebody else. We don't want to hear that shit.
So Tyler, how are you doing?
Right now I have daddy issues.
I just meant in this moment, not permanently.
I was just like,
This morning, I have daddy issues.
Yeah, this morning I have daddy issues, and yesterday, that was still true. Tomorrow, guess what it's gonna be?
Guess what it's gonna be?
I've got news for you. I'm doing okay. All things considered.
All the daddy issues considered?
Yeah, when you park all of that, I'm fine. How are you?
I am very tired. We are recording this not super early, but considering that all we do now is stay up late, every morning is early, and I am quite tired.
That is the spirit.
I'm quite tired.
Yeah, no, you guys are joining us. It's early in the morning. We all got some coffee. I'm wearing a Power Rangers outfit.
No, and don't lie to the people like that. You're gonna make them sad.
They would have no way of knowing. We could have just perpetuated the lie and everyone would have been better for it.
And see, this is what we talked about two podcasts ago. That this does not need to be the way that we go through life.
Let me ask you something.
Constantly lying.
If I had this concept, and this is like, it's not, okay, I'm going to say this and it's going to put me in a really weird light. But I have to articulate that it is the concept that is interesting and not that I'm over here, like, fantasizing about it, okay?
Okay.
If you had the power to control time, right?
Yeah.
Completely control time. And so that means you can pause it and you can reset it a little bit.
Yeah, you got the click remote.
Exactly, you get the... Of all the different time-based examples, you're just like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, from that movie,
you know
that Adam
movie
Sandler
Click.
Movie, Click. Oh my god. I can't hear Click without thinking about the D&D bit.
What?
Where we were, in a fictional, in Star Wars. We're playing a D&D campaign currently in Star Wars. And someone had said Click.
Oh, right.
And we were just like, that sounds like a space, like racism in
like
space.
Racism in
space.
Spacism,
if you will. and like you say, like, yeah, you fucking click. And it's like, oh, God. Like, that sounds bad.
It does.
It's not too, Jesus Christ, to my knowledge.
I'm going
to
laugh so hard
if that,
when you
we
just
have
cancel
to censor
yourself.
It if I just cancel myself.
You just cancel yourself
is click
so hard.
A
racial slur.
Racial slur. Please, God, tell me it's no.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
No, okay, we're
no,
good.
We're good. We're all right.
Everything's fine.
God, that would be, I would.
The panic that came into
you. We'd have to just start, because I'm like, oh, wait, this is the podcast.
The panic that came into your, like, spirit as you said that. Like, oh, God, no.
Like, of all the things I'd get canceled for, it's because I made a joke about what I thought was a fictional.
Right,
right. Anywho, so you can control time.
Anywho, you got the click remote.
You've got the click remote.
You pull out the clicky.
If you could pause time.
Okay.
Right? And let's say, just for all intents and purposes, you're at a social gathering with and like I wish I could think of a better example. Right? I wish
okay.
I could think of a better example than something that's sus, but, like, this is the best I could come up with.
Okay.
You're at a social event, and there's a famous... Donald Glover is there at the party.
Okay.
Okay? And you use the click remote to pause, and you go up, and it's pause. He's frozen in time.
Okay.
And you kiss him on the mouth. Right? And then you rewind time so that it never happened. And then you press pause, and you press unpause right when you were thinking about pressing the pause button, because that's you know, you rewound time. did you commit a crime?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me, like, would I do it?
No. Is, like, not would you do it, because, I mean, I would like to think the answer would be no, just like the answer for me would be no, because I feel like that's sexual misconduct. But,
well, yeah.
Is it because it never happened?
So, legally, you didn't do anything wrong, but morally, yeah, because you can remember that you did that, which means that it did happen. It just went to essentially like a weird alternate plane or something.
That was immediately destroyed.
But like, but that memory still lives in your head.
But you're the only one that has it. So what's the difference? So if you created an entire reality.
This is this psycho concept that we've talked about, where like, where all of the, this is such a money is made in the gray area kind of concept that you're throwing out.
Well, because this is interesting for me, because like I always love asking like morality questions, because as a non-religious person who is spiritual, I don't have like a book that says do this, don't do that. You know what I mean? I just have my own concept of morality. So I'm always questioning kind of like how to be the most moral. And, like, in the gray areas where it's, like, you're doing something that is wrong, but no one's being hurt by it. You know what I mean? So the question is, right, here's where it goes even deeper.
Okay.
What is, so if you have the power to create a universe and then immediately destroy it and undo the act so that it was never really done, it was objectively, in the time stream, in this current timeline, never done, right? Like, if I go in, and you have a nice mirror over there, and I pause time, shatter that mirror. I broke your property because I was angry and I wanted to get it out.
Samuel's
property. And I rewind time to a time where that never happened. I created a universe where it happened, and then I immediately deleted it so that objectively, in the time stream, it never happened. What's the difference between that, because I'm the only one that has memory of it, between that and just making it up in my head?
The fact that to actually, like, do it, and then just rewind time and be like, all right, you know, hands off it, just honestly kind of erases the human conscience. It erases, like, your, you know, your soul's need to treat people well and just, like, do good things to your fellow man. Because, like, if you take away
consequences,
then a conscience is useless. At that point, kind of your soul just disappears. Because if you get to the point where you're just like, it doesn't matter, I could do whatever I wanted, but it didn't technically happen, and you don't feel like remorse or a sense of, why did I do that? Like, mm-hmm. You know, what's wrong with me afterwards? Then at that point, like, at least in my opinion, you may as well just not have a soul. You may as well be like an animal on the side of the road.
That's crazy. Like imagine like you go out to the store, you spend all your money on a bunch of guns, and you go in and you rob a bank, right? And it goes south and you're like killing people and it's like not good, right? It's a very messy bank robbery. And you go, this isn't at all what I wanted. Reset, and then you go back to before you even bought the gun. Cause like at that point, it's like you said, it's at that point you can just, it's, you're in a video game at that point. You can do whatever you want with no consequences. But the question is that immoral?
Well, I personally do believe it is, because at that point you don't have morals because you don't have to have them. Who are you answering to? You're not answering to anybody.
By what standard is that bad? Because if nobody is affected by an action, if nobody is objectively affected by the action in the congruent timeline,
well,
is that a bad thing?
I personally would say yeah, because, and this is kind of just going in, this is getting in the weeds a little bit, but I believe that there is like a higher power, and that a piece of said higher power is our soul. It's what lives inside every single one of us. Mm-hmm. And it's why all of us are equal, as opposed to whatever higher power is out there, whatever you want to call it, whether you want to call it God, whether you want to call it the universe, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But because of that, giving one person the ability to do that takes away this figment higher power, and now you're just God, because like you know, like, God or the higher power is supposed to be the only one who has the ability to just, like, take back things, to take away consequences, to, like, just, you know, reverse or fast forward or, like, pause or whatever. Mm-hmm. So if a human now has that, then at that point, like, the higher power has, like, transferred to a person, and a higher power creates their own morality. They don't follow anything. So at that point, because I don't believe that's what humans are supposed to be, I think we, at least on this plane of existence, are not supposed to be, like, a higher power. We're just supposed to be the equal, like, all soul-having creatures on this big rock. And, like, yeah, so for me, with how I view humanity, yeah, I think it would be immoral because it's someone stepping into a position that was never yours.
Yeah.
And, interesting. And it's something that I don't even think our current level of, like, souls or brains or whatever even have the capacity to, like, be able to use responsibly.
Okay, follow-up question. If they made a time machine, and this is a really ridiculous concept, but let's say that they made a time machine, and you only get one lap around the track, right? You could go back in time, you could do anything you want. Everyone says, oh, I'd go back in time with like, modern-day weapons and go and kill Hitler, right?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people say.
So let's just take that example for a second, right? One lap around the track, we're never going to be able to time travel again. This is the one shot, and for some fucking reason, they put you in charge of making that decision. If you don't go back and stop Hitler, is that, like, if you do anything else, right, in that moment, is that an amoral or immoral act?
Well, that just gets into my whole, like, view about, you know, time and time travel and the fact that I don't, you know, even if at some point people did discover that you could do it, I used to think that I would want to, like, be a part of it and maybe, like, travel around, but I don't really think I do anymore. Just because I personally think that, and obviously, you know, as I say this, I understand that I am kind of talking about the Holocaust.
Okay.
Just because of the situation that we put forth.
Please woman-splain the Holocaust. No. Please Gentile-splain the Holocaust.
No.
And then you just start pointing at me. Just for context, really quickly.
I thought about just doing that when you mentioned the Holocaust.
Oh my God. Oh my God, that would break me. So last night we were having some drinks and having a good
partaking
time.
Partaking of some gummy things.
Partaking of substances. And I shouldn't say that because I was having drinks. I'm not going to incriminate myself. I'm a good, wholesome Christian boy. I'm kidding.
I don't answer to anybody. I'm self-employed through and through, so...
And Delta 8 is legal.
And anywho. Delta 8 is legal, so who cares?
Anywhomst. So, so Danielle was in a, we'll say, altered state of consciousness. And my buddy Colton calls out. He's just like, yeah, something about, you know, something about a Jewish person. Not even referencing me. Danielle, like a mummy, shoots up, like sits straight up, looks directly at me and says nothing and points and just points directly at me as if to say, I know a Jew and he's right there. And that, something it about was, that hurt me. That physically
it
hurt
was,
me.
It was a moment in time that, like, as I was doing it, you know how time is slow when you're high?
Oh, yes.
And so, like, as I was doing it, I was like, this is a weird thing to do, Danielle, but my hand was already in midpoint, and I was like, just double down, commit. Like,
we're already here.
But I guess, so I'm not trying to, like, I'm not trying, if I'd have my druthers, the Holocaust would not be tied to what I was saying right now, but here we are. So
it is.
Just for me, at least with the events in my lifetime, obviously there are things that if I could, you know, I guess that's the issue, is that I question even the bad things that have happened to me if I would go back and change them because they have, like, led me to, they, at the very least, I'm not happy that I experienced them, but I appreciate the knowledge that I then gained.
Mm. So you say that the Jewish people
no!
grew because
no!
of the Holocaust,
no,
and
I'm
so
not
you would let it
that.
Happen
I'm
specifically so the Jewish
that.
Community can then thrive later.
No, that's not what I'm
that's
saying.
That's exactly what Danielle just said.
But what I'm saying is because of that, it's hard to know whether or not I would actually want to go back and change something. Like, it's hard to know if that would even be on my agenda, or if I would rather just be present for some really crazy historical event. Like, if I would rather just travel
like go
back.
Go and see Jesus in person.
Honestly, like, yeah, like, go see what the real, like, person of Jesus not out of the Bible was like. Mm-hmm. Let's go back and see him. Let's go back
to... He's a white small business owner.
Oh, God.
If you ask modern day...
if you ask modern day anybody, he's a white guy.
If you ask... Yeah, most people that live in the United States.
No, but, like, that could be really interesting. Or what if I wanted to travel back in time and, like, actually physically be, like... Be present for, like, Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, or, like, something like that, where it's an amazing historical event that, obviously, because of just, like, time, I would never be able to be at.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's what I would end up doing, is not going back and changing anything, because also I have no clue what then, like, the world I would be in would look like. You know, I'd suddenly be thrust back into a 2022 that looks completely
different. It's unrecognizable
different.
Because of the butterfly effect.
Right.
Yeah.
And so if I come back, you know, what if somehow crazily as a result of all of that, none of you guys exist, or none of y'all, or what if even I start to, like, you know, start to disappear because it turns out my family never existed. Like,
yeah,
it's an insane thing to think about that, you know, so it's something that's hard to answer whether or not it's moral or not, just because for me, I don't like the idea of going back and changing something.
Yeah.
Just because I always think, especially with something so big, that I would just end up wrecking everything. There was actually, I'm about to just, like, wreck all the wise words I just said, but there is a plot line.
God, where are we going with this?
I'm regretting even starting it. No, it's not Twilight, but it is Animorphs. And I think there's a plot line in there where, like, they run into this, like, magic person who can travel through time, and they go back and they find, like, young Hitler back in time. And
In Animorphs,
they do that. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God.
And I think there is,
they're,
like,
contemplating killing him, like, murdering him in cold blood with their animal powers.
I think one person might have killed him.
What the fuck?
And then they go back to the future and everything is just fucked, obviously, because you irreparably changed something that was so, like, it was such a big event in the world.
Yeah.
That you changed, and so I think they ended up having to essentially make the decision of, do we stay with, you know, with this crazy fucking world that we've created, or do we go back
and stop ourselves from,
like, you know, because I don't even know if they killed him, or honestly, if they just, like, convinced him to go do something else. Like, I don't
remember.
They
convinced him to be an artist?
Yes, they convinced him to be an artist.
They're like, no, that was very good painting, Hitler.
No, but I don't remember which it was, but they essentially had to make that choice where they were like, you know, it's the choice between this or this, and, like, what has to happen.
Yeah.
And it was a really heavy thing for an Animorphs book to do.
Yeah.
But I remember it very vividly, and it kind of stuck with me, like, all through these years. So whenever people have asked, like, would you go back and change anything? I'm like, not really. I would just want to go back and be present for different things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you gave me a chance, I would just pick a crazy event in the world and be like, I want to be there for it. Like,
yeah.
Let's go, you know? But that would be it.
We've touched on this, and one of our viewers sent in a fan fiction that touched on this as well, which was a huge, like, mental concept, like a mimetic plague that just stuck in my head forever and just, like, tortured me. This concept of taking the mind that you have right now.
Oh, yeah,
you've talked about this. Like, my 26-year-old self, and placing the mind and all my experiences and all of my knowledges to the timeline that I came from in the body of myself at, like, freshman year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And how different things might be, and the different choices you'd make, and the different things you would do. You know what I mean? Like, what would that look like?
Well, yeah, because I remember you asked me and Samuel
if you would do it.
If we would do it. Yeah, I remember.
And you said, and you both didn't even blink. It took maybe a second, and you're like, nope, because it would run the risk of us not meeting each other.
Well, and that's the truth, is that up until, you know, Samuel and I, like, got together and got serious, there wasn't a real reason for me just to have the opinion that I have now, which is, no, I wouldn't go back and change anything.
Sure.
But then, like, you know, it was nice that he had the same reaction and actually said it even before I did, because that's exactly what I was going to say, which was, hell no. Like, I don't want to risk not meeting, like, essentially, I know everyone says this, and it's like, and it's cringe when people say it, but truthfully, like, you know, like, your other half, and it's just like, if you run the risk of doing that, the answer is no.
Yeah.
Like,
and for the longest time, even this is super exposing. Even with past relationships, I was like, yeah, I make that trade.
Well, and same with me. Like, all of my relationships pre-Samuel, yes, I would.
But then, like, honestly, like, meeting you guys specifically had adjusted that a little bit. But it then begged the question, right? If I was really, really married to the idea of, like, coming back and being y'all's friends, but I'm going to do this, right? I would come into meeting you knowing already that we're, like, super close best friends. But you don't know that. So it would... fuck with the energy of me, like, meeting you for the first time and being like, hey, yeah, it's great to meet you.
Well, especially
you don't know it yet, but we're best friends. And then you're like, I don't like this guy.
Well, especially because, like, you know, we've talked about it, that we have been in the same, like, place a few times, like, years before you and I actually met.
We did?
Yeah, ThesCon. We were there at the same time like, I think 2 years.
That's right.
And so, like, I think about that, and I'm like, okay, so, like, if we, you know, if he, like, approached me at ThesCon, the problem is Danielle in high school was, like, you know, either, was, like, any guy who actually gives me the time of day is a potential prospect for me. And so, like, you'd walk up thinking, like, okay, this is my, like, you know, this is my super close friend. This is my friend. Sister.
I can't wait to be friends with her.
And you would end up, like, wrecking my mentality of, like, who I'm looking for.
Well, I gotta be honest. I wouldn't, like, knowing that, if I was getting a game plan and, like, a strategy together, I consciously would avoid anything like that until what would it be? October, August of 2021.
Yeah.
Right? Because I know that until that happens, I need to back off and just go and do my thing. You know what I mean? And then try and just drop myself into the world when it happens. You know what I mean? But, like, it's fascinating too, because how do you, like if I made a series of different decisions, the things and the circumstances that led to me being friends with y'all in the first place, which was Sam and Brett, getting reacquainted with them and them introducing me to y'all, more than likely, it because of the nature of that whole dynamic and how that evolved, to avoid the 3 years that kind of came from that.
You would make it so that didn't happen.
I would make it so that didn't happen. But if that didn't happen, then I would have to... So it's like, okay, we're coming up on August 2021. What am I going to do? I got to, like, pick up the phone and be like, hey, are you guys looking for anybody for your shows?
Which, I mean, at that point, I would hope that it would just happen because, like, you know... Because you're an actor friend of Sam and Brett's, that if we were looking for someone and, like, they had stayed close with you, honestly, you probably would have been brought in at the beginning. But then again, that would have changed things
because that would have been when somebody else was in this company.
Well, here's the thing. In 2020 is when we founded the company. And so when Sam and Brett came in was like a couple of months after we had, like, established ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, hey, we want to be involved. And we were like, great. And if you were still, like, super tight with them and, like, you know, and still, like, expressing your love for theater with them, then why wouldn't they potentially have already mentioned, hey, we have this other friend?
I would be too afraid that it would fuck it up.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't do shit. Even if I fixed the relationship with them and they're just like, come do Mad Artist stuff, I'm like, I'm not doing shit until August of 2021. Call me when you need me.
But you realize what that does is that if Sam and Brett had decided to tell us, that, like, oh, you know, we knew this guy, but he just kind of didn't, I don't know.
He doesn't want to be a part of it. August for some reason.
and then when you come in, now we have this preconceived idea of who you are.
That's the thing, though. I would lie my ass off and say that I'm busy. And I'm not, and my schedule just happens to clear up
circumstantially. Yeah, but you remember how easily we let you in when you first, like, mentioned it, as opposed to if we heard, oh, yeah, he's too busy, like, all of this stuff, and then you're like, hey, I want to come in, we'd all be like, are you sure you can commit? Like,
this I also came in with cash in my hand saying, can I buy my spot in your friendship? That's essentially what I did. And then I ran out of money.
It's a lesson for all the kids out there. If you need friends, just buy them.
Happens. Just for a little bit of mad artist lore. I came in because I was asked to fill a gap because one of the actors had dropped out and then there were none. And so I was offered the role to come in despite arguably one of the worst auditions I think I've ever given to Samuel. And it was I look back on it and laugh. He's always nice. He's just like, no, man, I don't remember it being that bad. But it was so far below my standards.
He definitely didn't tell me that it was, like, bad. What he told me about it that I remember, which was, because it wasn't my first, like, concept of you, because he was already guesting in Salas at that point. Before you got brought into And Then There Were None, because I remember hearing your voice before I ever met you.
Really?
Yeah, because Sam had specifically asked, hey, I have this friend who's into D&D, can he come in and guest? And so, and at the very least, he was starting to listen in on y'all's, sessions, because I would often, you know, come home and he's sitting there, like, on there, and he would, like, let me listen just, like, to be present.
Sure.
But no, like, so I knew, like, your voice, and I knew that you were a friend of Sam and Brett's, and you were a D&D guy, and then he just told me, like,
and at that point, a very bad DM, because I was still learning.
Well, I remember what he told me about your audition was just that, like, you right off the bat, like, weren't delivering, that I think he said that you were trying too hard.
Because I was.
That you were trying really hard, and like, it wasn't just the effortless Lombard that needed to come out, or at that point, Blore.
Blore.
But even Blore, like, it was a little too much, and so he was like, I don't remember if he gave you any direction in the actual audition, but that's what he told me, is he was like, I think he'll be good for Blore, you know, he was a little over the top, but I also think he was nervous, you know, and like, because he gave you the benefit of the doubt, and was like, I'm pretty sure he was just nervous, because, like, you know, he barely knows me.
Could you imagine,
like,
if he was just like, that was a bad audition, we're not casting
him. That was
a
terrible audition.
Could you imagine if, like, that timeline would look like?
That is a dark timeline.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, God, that'd be crazy.
I mean, you'd probably still be with somebody at this point.
I would.
Yeah.
More than likely, I would. And think about that for a
second. Think about that for a second.
Because at that point, if it wasn't disrupted like that, it would probably be ring shopping.
Oh, boy, dude. Oh, boy.
Think about that timeline.
That's a dark timeline. We don't want that.
I just snap and get to the point where I'm like, you know what? Supervillain. We're going full supervillain mode. I'm going to sacrifice my soul. I'm going into televangelism.
Bro, no!
And then you guys see me on, like, on television talking about Seed Faith, and then it's just like, wasn't that the guy who auditioned for? That's crazy.
That's a Sam and Brett are like, yeah, he's kind of gone off the rails lately.
And then you guys, like, die and go to the next plane of existence, right? You're no longer alive. That's what happens when you die.
Yeah.
But then you see all of the branching timelines, and you're like, no shit. If we just cast him in that role, he would have been, like, a really close friend and not a televangelist.
Crazy. The fact that
with three divorces, that's wild.
Three divorces. No. Sorry, that's a Friends thing. I know you've never watched Friends.
Yeah. I was like, I'm sure that's a reference.
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't understand your godlike tone. Are you speaking at some reference that I don't understand?
No, that's so, that's very interesting to me, because I know that's, like, your whole thing that in your belief system that we've talked about on a previous podcast, that, like, when we die and go to King's Cross Station, you know, we're there, and we can see all of the other, like, what I'm even more curious about is if, like, other people in my life that have kind of, like, passed through like what their other timelines with mm-hmm. me were.
Like other best friends that could have been
that forged, could have happened.
Right? Like sub me out for somebody else because you didn't hold the door open for someone. You know what I mean?
Or even like even a thing where, oh, because this one decision was made when I was 15 that totally changed the course of the person that I was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now suddenly I'm just trying to think of somebody sort of like now like Donnie is my best friend mm-hmm. or something like that, just because my life went in a totally different direction. And it's like it's very interesting to think about, like Alex is my best friend or something that's like that's, you know, someone that we are friends with, but they're not like close with us. And it's like the idea is very, very interesting to like think about, like seeing that and being like, well, what decision led to that? And going back to the beginning and being like, okay, that's a very small thing, or it's a giant thing that was different. Like,
you know what I keep asking myself is, you know, I have a bit of a history being a bit on the promiscuous side, and I definitely enjoy consensual dating. That's the polite way to say it, I suppose.
Consensual dating.
I don't like how that sounded, but even though that's
as
the
opposed
right...
to non-consensual dating.
Well, yeah, because like I don't want to sound. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I said it like that. But I have a bit of a promiscuous history. And so the question then comes down to, so, okay, you get dropped back into high school. What do you do? Because I know with the knowing how to talk to girls and knowing how to exude confidence and knowing how to kind of play the game, as it were, I would have much more success with a lot of the people, like the ones who got away. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So my question that I keep asking myself is, would I steer in the direction of gluttony and have a lot of, you know, Mrs. Right Nows and not look for Mrs. Right?
Or would you try to find, or like, would a I go, high school sweetheart?
Or would I
like...
go for the girl that I was in love with mm-hmm. all throughout high school and undo the mistakes, which was my promiscuous nature, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was because, and not even like, sex, because I didn't even lose my virginity until I graduated. But, but no, like it was just I had dated.
Yeah.
Not anything. Dated. Gone on dates with a bunch of people who happened to be her friends.
I'm so
and she went,
fascinated
no.
by that. And so is Samuel. Like, obviously, you know, no names, no specifics, but like it is so fascinating to me, her belief system and your belief system mm-hmm. and how like just absolutely head over heels you have
crazy
been and down in like a certain position you still are.
Oh yeah.
Like it's so intriguing to me that like that in spite of like, you know, what she believes and everything, because just because that's so interesting to me. And I don't know if it's...
We can get more specific. Like, I'm not afraid of this. Like, I was gonna say her name, and then I thought about it. I was like, maybe don't.
Wait,
do that.
Well, at least not say her name. But like, she is very Christian.
Yeah, she's a what is it? A youth leader or
a worship leader?
That's what it is.
But that's so interesting to me that and it almost makes me think. And this isn't something that I actually believe,
mm-hmm.
but it's just like a little intrusive thought that's like. Maybe it's just the, like, the idea of, like, corrupting the good Christian girl.
No!
That's not
what it was. Because with her in particular, she was and is very, like, just a very, like, she, I mean, she had her doubts like anybody, but she's, like... She's confident. She knows who she is. And, like, the biggest thing that got me about her is, you know, present company excluded. She was, and still is, one of the biggest, like, I hold more respect for her than I do most, not even women, people, right? I have such a deep-seated, honest, and true respect for her because of what she has accomplished and the life that she has led. And how she, like, what she's had to overcome and everything. Like, her story and her talent level and her personality are such that, like, I have such a genuine respect for that. And, again, this was in 2013. I was a different person back then. I was still developing and growing into myself. But as I started getting luck with the ladies, there, like, this concept of respect across the board, I would practice it in my actions, but I wouldn't feel it in my heart. You know what I mean? I would respect those around me and be nice to everybody.
Some of those sociopathic tendencies kind of coming out.
Yeah. But I, like, in my heart, I'd be like, I mean, you're cool, but, like, I don't really, like, respect you. You know what I mean? But I would never be disrespectful. You know what I mean? And so with her, it was just like, I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm like, I respect her. I appreciate what she's doing and how she got here and the work that she's put in. And she's just absolutely incredibly talented, great personality, drop dead gorgeous. And so it's like, yeah, like, absolutely. And we just got along so famously. And so, all that to be said, she was clearly to me on a pedestal above, far and away above everyone else that I was seeing or even interested in, you know? So for me, like, that was the biggest thing. And, you know, the religious aspect, I can't speak for her, because I would venture, if, and I don't know this to be true, I would argue that that would be quietly a subconscious reason why we never ended up getting together.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's how, you know, I mean, you know, not to put, like, my sister on blast, but that's kind of how she has been, where if, like, if a guy seriously likes her, but he is agnostic or atheist, like, you know, she's devoutly Christian, and so, like, that is a deal breaker for her. She's like, he has to be on the same level as I am.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not even a bad thing. Like, you know, there are people out there
No, not at all.
There are some people who are more than fine, like, being with somebody who believes something totally different from them, and there are some people who aren't, and I don't think that's a bad thing. But she has done a similar thing, where there have been guys she has liked a lot, but then they told her that she was agnostic, and she was like, I'm sorry, I just can't do it. Like, you know, like, it's just not a thing that I can do, because especially she wants to have kids. What do you tell the kids? Like, if one parent wants to take them to church all the time, and the other parent is like, ah, just make your own choice about it, you're telling me that's not going to create friction between the
it
parents?
It is. And that has to be a conversation.
Yeah.
And so, I've asked myself the same question. What do you do when you get to the point, if you are with someone who has differing beliefs than you? And that, you know, and that's a conversation. Of course, you have that conversation far and away before
you have
even
that conversation
married.
Long before you get engaged.
Exactly.
Like,
well,
you
want to
have that conversation way before, where you're like, you know, when we have kids, what do we do? How are we raising them with this?
To go back to the girl though, the thing that I loved the most, one of the things that I loved the most about her, was that she was, in my opinion, one of the best Christians I've met, right? Through and through, it was love first, always, period.
Yeah.
And she, for me, there's Christians and then there are followers of Christ. People who genuinely take what Jesus Christ fucking said and practice that.
Yeah.
Instead of the dogma and the religion and the bullshit of Christianity. That is super going to get me in trouble. But, like, bullshit aspects of Christianity.
You're talking to a Christian currently. I'm not offended by that at all.
Yeah.
But also, I am not on the same, you know, I don't believe all of the same things that some of the more, like, you know, some of the more what I call toxic Christians will.
Right. And just to be clear, so I don't have to do an apology tour later in life, when I say bullshit of Christianity, I'm not saying Christianity in and of itself is bullshit. I'm saying there are aspects of it that people extrapolate.
Yeah.
Like homophobia, for example.
Oh,
that
God.
Is fucking fundamentally bullshit in my opinion. All that's to be said, she wasn't any of that.
Yeah.
Right? And I would like to, because one of the things that I, you know, I don't know if this is true or not. Everyone says it's true. Everyone who knew us knew that it was true, that she deep down was, you know, really liked me, but wouldn't allow herself to explore that because she had made up her mind about what can and cannot be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I would argue that part of that was, you know, the whole concept of kind of like what you were saying, without the like scary, like craziness, the sociopathy of it with the corruption, but like, She lived in her world of, you know, good, wholesome Christian individuals, and here you have this bad boy who curses and you know what I mean? Like, who curses and isn't religious, but, like, can back it up with actual, like, somewhat, you know, attempted philosophy. and is a bad boy in concept, but not in practice. You know what I mean? And so, like, because that's what, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you what women want. But I will say, my hairstylist will tell me all the time that what women want, this isn't me saying this, she says that women want a guy like I said a truffle, she said a crab.
What?
Who is hard and tough on the outside, but gooey and like soft on the inside, right? I think truffle is much more pleasant than crab. But
I mean, it definitely is, because like a crab, you have to kill to get to the.
You have
inside.
To kill, and then you have to break their fucking bones and shit to get to the meat.
Well, that's just fun, but I really like crab. But
it's also suicidal if you're me.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, because you're allergic to shellfish. Mm-hmm. So getting into that really quick, because I'm just interested in that, because I do think for like lots of women that is true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a blanket statement. No, it's not a blanket statement.
But all women do feel like that.
The way you looked at me like, please laugh, was funny.
Do not fuck me on this, Danielle. This is a joke, and I know I need to know that you know that that's a joke.
The look in your eyes was, please laugh at this. It was so funny.
It's the Jeb Bush.
Oh my God.
Please clap.
No, but a lot of women do want that. Like, I know that my friend Amy is someone like that. I know, I believe to a certain extent my sister wants that, but she's a little more flexible.
I feel like you're like that to a degree. Well, what Samuel is. He's a tough motherfucker, but on the inside, he's a fucking sweetheart.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think it's about them
I'm fired.
Well, I don't think it's about them having to be tough on the outside and soft on the inside. It's more about the fact that we want, like, a different level of comfort to be shown. Like we want them to be more comfortable and open around us than around just everybody else.
I see. And you want you to have that vulnerability when it's earned, as opposed to just being a softie to everybody.
And it's not even about, like, you know, oh, you're weak. It's about, like, us feeling special.
Right.
And for me, at least, that's what it's about.
No, that's an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah, for me, it's not about, like, oh, you have to be tough so everyone thinks you're tough. It's not that. It's so that I know that when I have achieved that level of closeness and trust that I want with you, when you start being really vulnerable with me and, like, having these moments where I'm like, okay, we've made it. Like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
But what was that came from?
I was just snickering because I'm just thinking back to what my hairstylist said, because she's just like, here's what women want. I'll tell you what women want, Tyler. Okay? Listen closely. I've been married for 15 years. I know what women want. I'm like, okay.
She's watched the movie with Mel Gibson. I'm like, we all know.
Right. Yeah, and what women want is Mel Gibson.
Is Mel Gibson.
She's just like, my husband looks like a bad boy. He looks like a bad boy. He dresses like a bad boy. He's got tattoos. He's got gauges. He fucks like a bad boy. And I'm sitting here, she's cutting my hair, and I'm just like, holy shit. But with me, I know he's just a big teddy bear, like, on the inside, and he's super sweet, and he takes care of me, right? That's what women want. And I'm like, I didn't want to sound, like, pretentious or like disrespectful, but I'm like, I know that. I'm like, I know that, because I was telling her about, like, she was talking to me about, like, appeal, and I'm just like, here's the thing, like, my issue isn't finding a woman, my issue is finding the right one. That is what has evaded me all this time, is finding the right one. And she's like, well, that's because you attract crazy. And I'm just like, well, like, yeah. She's like, but you're kind of into it though. She's like, you like crazy. You think crazy's sexy. That's why you do the things that you do. And I've known her for 5 years. Like, she knows me inside and out. And I'm just like, I mean, yeah, but, like, that doesn't mean that I'm looking for it. And she's like, yeah, but every time it shows its face, you know in your heart that what you're getting into. You know deep down, you know what you're getting into, but you consciously ignore it because you go, maybe it's different this time. Every single time. Tell me I'm wrong. And I'm like, you're not wrong.
Well, and you know why, has she explained, like, why you attract crazy?
I can't remember her definition of it. She has, I can't remember how she explains it. I'm fascinated to hear your thought process. I'm interested
because as soon as you said it, I was like, well, yeah, of course he does. Because, and this kind of goes back to, you know, there have been a few relationships that I've either been present for or that I've just heard about. And so I know that, that with you, you approach, and this isn't even like a wrong thing. This is just because of the way that you do this.
Sure.
It's going to lead people to be crazy.
You're saying I'm the responsible party of making them
no,
crazy?
No. They already are, but like
No. You are, but that's not what I'm saying.
No. They already are, mm-hmm. but you make them feel safe to show like an kind of obscene like level of it.
But like,
and here is the reason. The reason for it is that you, like, particularly with people that you are like getting to know and trying to bring in closer to you,
mm-hmm.
it's like how you've described like every other friend group before meeting me, is that you have to be the rock every time.
Yeah.
Until you get close to that person. Like you're not, in your brain, you're not allowed to be anything other than the rock.
Yeah.
And anything other than the, you know, problem solving guy, let's fix this, you know, mm-hmm. anything other than
shoulder to cry on.
Yeah.
All that
shoulder
shit.
To cry on, you know, borderline dad, like figure, like things like that.
Sometimes actual dad.
No, that's terrible. But no, like you show that energy of like, you know, I'm always gonna pick up the phone and be the rock. Like always, no matter what.
Yeah. Cause that's how I show love, is by like showing you that I'm the person that you can fucking count on, because if we're going to do this team thing where we're a team in a partnership, I want to know that I'm good with you, but you need to know that you're good with me,
and
that's the problem.
Yes, and that's the thing, is that at the beginning
you need to be a cunt.
No, you don't need to be that.
You can't count on me ever.
No, but you do need to show more aspects of like who you are than just I'm the rock, I am the one to rely on, I am all of this. Because like, you know, that was a big thing, you know, I was gonna say it was a big thing with me and Samuel, but it wasn't, because I've never wanted to rely on anybody. But but I know for a lot of people, if they like a lot of, specifically like, you know, the women in my life, but not just the women, I know a lot of men in my life who have done the same thing, where they like, they get with somebody and that person is really strong and has been there for them several times, and they start to just kind of think of them as like a hotline for when they are, like, losing it.
Yeah, the safety net.
And because they know that you're there, not only are you that hotline, but they're going to use you every single day.
They feel emboldened to then take more risks.
Exactly.
Because they know they have a safety net.
So in those moments where they would normally be able to, like, you know, center in and be like, it's nothing. What I'm freaking out about is nothing, and I know it's nothing. Mm-hmm. And instead of just talking to you and just being like, yeah, I've just kind of been experiencing this thing, it's like, it's rough. Instead, because they know that you'll be there and that you're not going to hang up the phone that they will instead lose their minds, because they know they want what you have been giving them, which is always bringing them back to center.
Yeah.
And As opposed to sometimes, like, I guess that's the thing, is that maybe, and this is something that, you know, just in the future could be, like, something that you try a little more, is just kind of being there rather than always trying to work the problem.
That's like, impossible.
And when it has to do with, like, your relationship, then it's a working the problem thing, but, like, it's something that Samuel does fairly well, is that there are some times when I just want to, like, explode a little bit. And mm-hmm. so I just kind of let everything out. And if I ask him to say something, you know, because I've learned now that most of the time he prefers to, like, be there. And if he has something serious he needs to say, he'll say it. But he also knows that, like, that a lot of times you just need to let it out.
Yeah.
It's not even that you need anyone to say anything. And if I need him to say something, I'll ask for it. I'll be like, okay, can you tell me what you think, or, you know, or whatever. And then, of course, he'll say his thoughts. But I think that makes it a very good, like, I know he's there and I know I can talk to him and he will have thoughts and he'll give me advice if I want it. but I don't expect that every time, and it leads me to not then need it every time.
Mm-hmm.
And
I had done that with my most recent relationship,
mm-hmm.
the one that you were completely and wholeheartedly responsible for.
Yeah, it's all my fault.
I'm kidding. That's super not true.
I mean, it is, but
it's not. Don't actually think that. No, neither of us had any idea, but. Also, hey, X, thanks for tuning in.
This is why we don't use names.
Facts. So, but no, with my previous relationship, I remember there was a specific beat too, where, she was upset and, I almost didn't use pronouns because I was just like, oh, we gotta keep it.
Are you out of
your fucking mind? Use your girlfriend. But no, she was upset and, I could tell that the energy was weird, so I just opened my first, we're playing poker, and my first card that I played down was, hey, do you want a shoulder to cry on and somebody to just listen, or do you want my advice?
Mm-hmm.
And it was very funny, too, because she said yes to both, and then blamed me for giving advice. She was just great. I guess I just want someone to listen to. I'm like, hey, then I'll shut my fucking mouth, right? And she said her piece. She's like, so what do you think? I'm like, are you asking me for my advice? And she goes, well, yeah. And I was like, well, I think that there are some elements where you're a little off the rails on this, and I think the other person is a little off the rails as well, but here's what I think, you know, can be done to fix it. She's like, are you telling me what to do? And I'm like, holy fucking shit. I'm not telling you what to do at all. In fact, I'm just making a humble suggestion, you know, the thing you asked for. And she's just like, I guess I wanted somebody to like talk to that wasn't going to like say anything. I'm like, then why'd you ask for the advice? And she's just like, I just feel like this is, why are you getting hostile? I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
I'm sorry. I wanted to see where you would go after that.
I was kind of spinning out. I'm not going to lie.
Just a little bit. I could tell.
It's just fucking like,
I wanted to see where you would go.
Yeah. It's fucking insane. But, it was so funny too, because, the last time I'd seen my hairstylist was when I was telling her about, oh my God, there's this new girl. Holy shit. It's going to be amazing. We're going to get married. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was just like, uh-huh. And she's like, how's the girlfriend? And I'm just like, she hit me with the uh-uh, and she's like, and she knows what that means, and so I was just like, she's like, every fucking time, she's like, why can't you just date someone normal?
Well, here's the thing.
And I'm like, because when I do, it never works out.
Yeah.
It's always, it stagnates immediately. Because it starts off, and it's just like, hey, this is stable, and normal, and Bob standard, and safe. Right? Let's just do that. And then it's just boring. Dreadfully dull and boring. And I'm sitting here going, this is like a piece of, it's a sandwich made out of bread. It's a bread sandwich.
Well, it's because you haven't, and I think that this is true, I don't think you have ever, and correct me if I'm wrong, but just from what you have like just told me about your whole dating life, I don't think you've ever dated someone that was wholly and completely like also your best friend. I don't think that's ever been a thing.
Yeah, I think so too.
And I think that you have obviously been close, of course,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that there's ever been a person that like that was 100% like not just your significant other but also your best friend, you can always talk to, and you know that they're not just gonna say what you want to hear, that they're gonna be honest, because that's another thing that a partner has to do for you, is like, you know, is kind of like call you on your bullshit and keep you accountable for like when you're pulling some fuckery, like when they're just like, okay, I gotta be honest with you, I agree with the other person, and this is why. And it may turn into a bit of an argument, but, like, that's what they have to do.
And it's been difficult, because with my past relationships, it's like, there's, they'll say something where they're just like, ooh, I don't know if I wholeheartedly agree with you, but because we don't have that kind of relationship, mm-hmm. even though I want that relationship, but we don't have it, I'm like, yeah, but I just don't think you're right on that one. Like, calling me out, like, I appreciate that you're calling me out, and I want you to call me out, but I just don't agree. I just don't think you're right. I don't think you're correct in saying that. And then I have to consciously go, will you shut the fuck up? Will you just listen to what she's saying? And then I'm like, all right, there may be some element of truth to that, but...
Well, and here is the truth of it. I think that, and I think I've mentioned things similar to this before, and I think you'd agree with me that not in a gross, like, man better than woman way, but just in...
Bunga.
Yeah, not in, like, a gross way, but just in a, just the people that you've been with up to this point, I don't think with most of the people, you have really viewed them as on the same level of, like, of respect and intelligence as you are.
And, you know, you are not the first person to say that. And I don't think you'll be the last, because that is a constant issue.
Yeah.
Is, you know.
Where it's not that you disrespect them. It's not that they're stupid.
No, not at all. It's just that
the things that they show you.
Do not speak to a level of intelligence.
Right. It doesn't speak to match yours, and and therefore it doesn't garner the amount of respect that they may have for you.
And not even match, but something that complements. You know what I mean? Because like I need to know that when you say, "Hey, I need you to shut the fuck up and listen to me for a second," that what you're gonna say is something that I will inevitably agree with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That you are making a good point. As opposed to saying something because you feel like you need to say something and not being able to like fully articulate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, now I'm either doing something wrong or upset. And you're like, now on top of being upset, I now have to try and decipher what the fuck you mean, translate it, and then listen to it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's impossible. It's impossible.
And that's the thing, is that has honestly been at the core of what has just, what I would say, gone wrong with just, like, you and all of your past partners has just been that, like, the people that you have chosen have all kind of followed that same thing for one reason or another, you know? Like, it's not that they're all, like, doing the exact same things. It's just that because of the things that they then do, it's not even always about intelligence. Not even about, like, you know, more, sometimes it's more about wisdom than intelligence, but like, or things like that, where it's like, you know, oh, okay, like your social, you know, like sometimes the way that you perceive things in a social circle or that you act in a social way, sometimes a social intelligence as opposed to like actual book smart, whatever. But,
I mean, one of the hottest things that you can do if we're dating and we're at a party is walk around and talk to other people.
Yes.
Holy fuck. What a concept.
What a concept.
Imagine not being glued to my hip and leaning on me for social interaction. It's like,
No, that's always how I've been. Like, obviously, because, you know, if I'm there with Samuel, like, of course I want to be near him.
Well,
but,
like, yeah.
But it's not a situation.
You're not glued.
No.
That's the thing.
I'll go talk to somebody
he
else.
He can go
I'll
play
travel.
Beer pong and you can go talk to somebody else. It doesn't fucking matter.
Do you know how many times we've been at your house and he's been having, like, a deep conversation with someone on the couch while I play, like, beer pong with Colton or something? Like, that's happened many times.
Yes.
And it's just because, like, we know what we are to each other. We don't have to constantly prove.
You don't need that constant validation because it's been, you don't need it validated. It's been solidified as just a law of the universe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I respect the fuck out of with you guys. I will say it's funny too, because I always ask, since we're to go back to the concept of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the one that got away that was, they're really, in my relationship history, there really are only two people who are the ones that got away.
And I know both of those stories.
Yeah, you do. The audience doesn't.
No, the audience does not.
The first one was who we just talked about. Which, by the way, remember when I said that she had texted me out of the blue? She had texted me out of the blue, was like, oh my God, we have got to meet up for coffee and catch up. Like, I'd love to get food. Oh my God, we got to talk. It's this big thing. And then... silence.
I told you that it's literally...
It always happens. It always goes that way.
I told you, because when me and Tyler talked about this, I was talking about... I used to have a very close guy friend senior year of high school and then my first few years of college. There was this girl who was the super talented, like, all these things in the program, like, gorgeous, and, like, all the guys wanted to be with her. She got all the roles and everything. you know, like blonde, curvy, everything that everything anyone could want. What'd you say her phone number was? No. She's also been in a serious relationship for many years.
I'm also just kidding.
And she lives in New York, so.
Their planes exist.
At least I think she still lives in, that's where she went to school at least. But she, so she was all these things. And she basically led my guy friend on for like a solid couple of years where he, and granted, that wasn't all while we were friends. Mm-hmm. Like, we became friends basically at the tail end of that. And there were so many times when, like, everyone thought they were going to start dating. Mm-hmm. Because, like, they would spend so much time, like, you know, if we were all doing, for instance, all of us went out, like, you know, all the thespians went out to, like, Steak and Shake after a show or something.
Yeah.
And so we all go out there, and she had had asked him to give her a ride. And then they just stood outside and talked for like 20 minutes. And we can all see because there's a million windows in Steak and Shake. So we're all watching and we're like, what are they doing out there? Like, okay, it's finally happening. Like, mm-hmm. There it goes. And it turns out she was telling him she just wanted to be friends.
Oh.
But like that happened so much where she would text him at like midnight.
That's painful.
Like at like talking about all this like deep stuff and like, you know,
really forging like this connection.
Forging
with
this
him.
Really and would always text him, hey babe, and like all of this stuff.
Dude, fucking
and that's what I'm saying.
Dude,
fucking, and so dude. You're telling me all of this and I'm like, she's literally doing the same thing that girl did, where she wants to keep this guy on the line because this is a good guy. He's charismatic, he's talented, he's attractive. Let me keep him on the line in case something goes wrong with this other guy, his best friend that I want to date instead, mm-hmm. who did end up dating her. And
that's painful.
And for a long time, actually.
Oh my God.
And kind
painful.
Of screwing her over in a, it's not a good way. I definitely don't think it's good. Don't do this to a person. But it was a bold way to end the relationship.
What
it was
do?
Bold. So she was living in New York, and I think he might have been too. I think they were both going to, not the same art school, but like one of them went to Pace and one of them went to NYU, I think.
Mm.
So she, I think she was the one at Pace, and they had like sort of taken a break for a little bit, and they ended up like meeting back up in Central Park. He had sex with her in Central Park.
Oh shit!
And then just left. And was like, deuces, and that was the end of the relationship.
Oh my God.
It was kind of the craziest thing that I've ever heard.
That's
like
fucking insane.
Like, someone said that to me, and I was like, that is a bold way to break up with somebody.
That is fucking insane.
Yeah, I mean, she's found a guy, and she seems very happy with him, because I still follow her on social media and everything, But, like, she really kept my guy friend on, like, the ropes for a long time. And he would always, like, you know, once we got close, he started coming to me and being like, I just don't understand. Like, she's sending me all these signals. And I'm like, it's because she wants you around, dude.
Yeah.
It's because it's an ego boost to have you around when every girl in the school wants to date you. And she knows that she doesn't want to, but you want to. Oh, dude, is that a power trip? Like, damn. Oh my gosh.
That's fucking vicious, man.
And like, and so of course, then he ended up starting to date the girl that he's now married to, like maybe a month later.
Because
I was like, dude, you got to get back out there.
He's like, okay.
But you know,
and I got married.
Something that I've never really like talked about though was the fact that, so I had like 2 years previous to us becoming friends, I had like had a crush on him because he's Mr. Theater guy, like, you know, Mr. Charisma and everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, and so everyone liked
a
him.
Lot of theaters have like the alpha male guy.
Yes. Yeah. He was that guy.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, yeah, okay. You know, I was just like every other girl. Now that I think back on it, he was kind of mean, but like he labeled the group that I used to hang out with, I can't remember the first adjective, but it was essentially the girls that take up space.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's fucking,
it was,
that's harsh.
It was rough. And
that's
and,
really harsh.
And I was
God.
Like, I mean, they're still like, they are dull, but they're still like people, you know,
damn.
Like, come on. But that's what he like labeled them as. And so I ended up like becoming really close. Well, sorry.
No, please.
Okay. I ended up becoming really close friends with his ex. And then 2 years later, I became really close friends with him. And, or really, he just kind of chose me. Like, first day of senior year, he just sat down next to me and was like, we're gonna be friends now. And then we just were best friends for, like, 3 years.
That's wild.
It was the craziest thing, because I was like, the popular guy wants to hang out with me? Like, what have I done? And I was just like, well, this is status. and of course, because this
this
guy,
is the height of luxury!
This is the height of luxury! The thing was, it wasn't like I, like, really liked him, but I did like him a little bit during that year.
Of course,
like,
yeah.
I never told him that, because I was like, I know it's not gonna happen. Like, he doesn't view me that way, I'm not, and it wasn't something that I was, like, shattered over. It was just, yeah, like, a thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, okay. And I got over it really easily once he started, like, dating the girl that is now his wife. But I remember he had, like, he would, you know, text me super late and be like, you know, why does so-and-so, the girl leading him on, like, she's sending me all these signals, and I'm just like, signals don't always mean what you think they do, my guy. They sure are signals, but they're not signals that she wants to be with you. They're, yeah, signals that she wants you on a leash, just following her around. Ooh. Like,
that's fucking brutal.
And then, of course, like, you know, he came to me and was like, I think I want to ask out this one girl. And I was like, okay, so ask her out. So good luck. Like,
yeah. And they're the ones that got married?
Yeah, they're the ones that got married.
Oh, that's awesome.
When they were first together, I remember seeing them for the first time, because we were going out to, like, it was when we explored abandoned buildings. And he brought her along, which kind of, like, annoyed me, because I liked being the only girl in the group. And I was just like, ugh, you're just bringing your girlfriend? Lame.
what a fucking square.
What a loser. But no, so they're sitting in the front, and it was, like, kind of awkward, because they had, like, just started dating. And they weren't, like, they were close-ish, but it was still that, like, new relationship awkwardness, you know? And they're sitting in the front, and she's, like, trying really hard to, like, be as cool as he is and stuff, which I thought was kind of sweet. Which she gained all of her confidence and everything, like, you know, like a year later, but
sure.
It was just like, it was one of those times where I'm sitting in the back, like, judging, just like, I mean, this could work. She just needs to, like, be bigger, like, have more confidence, like, you know, come on.
For a very split second, I thought you meant, like, physically.
No, not physically.
Like, she needs to eat a fucking steak.
No.
Dude, shit.
No, she is very, very pretty. That was another thing that upset me, is that she came into the group, and not only is there another girl in the group, but she's hotter than me. And
oh,
I was like,
no, she's hot!
I was like, crap! I wanted this place in the group, and now I don't have it. No, but that was just, like, so whenever you were telling me about all of that, mm-hmm. I was just, that was the immediate ping I got, was like, dude, this girl just wants you on her hook so bad.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, both of the last times you've seen her in person, you have made it clear that you're interested.
Yeah.
And she still wants to constantly, like, go get coffee. That's an ego boost, man. Like, it is.
Yeah.
It's an ego boost.
And she's one of the few people where I will consciously say, I acknowledge that. I appreciate it. I get it. If she texts me tonight and says, hey, we're meeting up for coffee on Wednesday, I'm there.
Oh my gosh.
Like, yeah, of course. And she's engaged. And it's not a romantic thing where it's like, oh my God, it's because of my undying love for you. But I just will. You know what I mean? She's one of the few people who has that.
Well, you'll do that, honestly. Like, if you're being truly honest with yourself, you'll do that kind of thing for most people, because you always pick up the phone for everybody.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, that's very correct.
And Samuel is kind of similar to you in the sense that, like, he...
What was that?
There was, like, coffee dribbling down it.
Oh, my
God. So I
God.
Didn't want it to, like...
For the listeners at home, she took a sip from her coffee, looked at it, and then licked the side of the fucking mug, and I'm like, what in hell?
No, why? I thought you saw it. There was, like, a drop of coffee,
I just
running
thought
down.
You're just like, man, this, there's something in this fucking mug, bro.
No, I didn't want it, like, making a coffee
chocolate
rings.
Cup from fucking Willy Wonka.
William Wonk.
And the Chalk Factory.
And the Chalk Factory.
That's one of the funniest things one of my exes said.
Oh my gosh, No, I really... I don't know. So Samuel is similar in the sense that he also won't block anybody. He's not that person.
It's just not me.
I am that person because I don't want people bothering me that I don't want bothering me. And so I will very, like, you do have to do something bad. And there are certain people that I have, like, kept in my phone. Like, I've kept exes in my phone. I honestly think I even kept, like, that one guy in my phone, but I labeled his number as something very specific so that I would know.
I did, and, like, that's what I did, because for the girl who sexually assaulted me, I have her number still in my phone, but it's labeled as, hey, Let's be real fucking clear.
Yeah.
What's good?
Well, same for the guy with me. I don't think I ever deleted his number, but I labeled it "don't answer."
Yeah, because like, I just labeled it. Why would I want to be surprised?
Right. I don't want to be surprised by a message.
And you're just oh yeah, what's going on? And it's just like, hey, I want to talk about this. It's like
The people that I usually end up actually blocking are people that I just like. I know for a fact that they are going to put something on me that I do not want to receive.
Yeah.
Like whatever that may be, whether it's, I can only handle so much of just like, I'm not even sure what to call it, but when I know that someone's going to end up hitting me with something that's too intense, that's when I have to do that. Is when I'm just like, my mental is not...
When they have enough energy in your mind where they can really just out of the blue hit you with something that'll completely like ruin your week.
Exactly. Then that's when I do that. When I'm like, okay, if this... I'm just out. Goodbye. But even
my brother
like,
did that with Dad.
What?
He deleted his phone number. He knows his phone number by heart. We all do.
Yeah.
But he was just like, I was told to delete his number, so I did. I was like, holy shit, bro.
Yeah, I don't usually delete or block unless it's one of those situations, but or if someone's like harassing me, then I'll block him, obviously. But Samuel was of the agreement that with some people, you do just need to like, especially if they are consistently reaching out to you and it's not someone that you want or need to be talking to, just mute them so that like you don't get the notifications, but the messages still come through. So if you're just scrolling through your messages and you see that and you're like, is this important? You click on it. It's not great. You like it didn't take any time out of your day looking down, seeing the notification, going, "Oh God, what is this?" And then like it took no energy except when you were like just scrolling through and then were like, "Oh, look at that, a new message." Like no, so that I am a firm believer in. But I mean,
no, I can't do that. I can't. I have to know what's going on at all times, and if somebody's going to reach out to me, I need to at least look at it. I need to look at it and then consciously ignore it instead of just not being bothered by it.
I don't understand.
I would rather be bothered than know.
Well, you know what?
Than know that I don't know.
I do understand that. Of course I do, because you've got the savior complex. You've got to always answer the phone, even if that person, one, like, shouldn't be coming to you, and two, does not need or has earned like your vigilance at this point.
Yeah.
Or vigilance. That's the word. Vigilance. Vigilance. I said it and I was like, that sounds wrong. No, vigilance.
Because the God's honest truth is if she had called me and was just like, oh my God, like I'm fucked. I need someone. I would. The God's honest truth. And I know that I shouldn't. I can consciously say that that's wrong. But of course I would. Right? You know what I mean? Like I can't. That is 1000% like one of the biggest, I don't even want to say issue, because like people will say, you will say it's an issue. Intelligent people of the world who know about life will say it's an issue. My problem with my savior complex is that I still truly, if I'm being honest, I'll say things like, yeah, it's a problem. I don't mean it. I don't think it's a problem, even though there's a part of me that understands that it is.
Well, you because I mean? The thing is, and
it's like, why is helping people bad?
Well, because at a certain point, you're not helping them.
Who makes that call?
The world.
The world. Like, the villagers.
The villagers. The village people make that call. No, but
that's
like,
why you have to stay villages.
You gotta stay villages. No, but that is such a big thing. Is when does what your idea of helping someone, like, when does that become, like, become the opposite? And I think specifically with the person that I'm thinking of at the moment, that has long passed. Where, like, if like, the response
like, the statute of limitations is passed.
It is passed with being able to communicate and have it just be innocent, I miss you, like, you know, like I still kind of want to talk to her kind of thing. I hate you so much. No, but like that has long since passed. And so at this point, especially with where this person is in life now and the people that are around her.
Going on a date with John, apparently.
Going on a date with John. But like all of that, like, you sticking around and still being there for this person at this point in her life is not helpful. If anything, it is keeping her from truly creating a real connection with somebody else. And that is not, and when you know that y'all are not going to become anything other than exes at this point,
mm-hmm.
that's not helpful to her to like keep that, to keep the hotline available.
Well, fortunately, I've never been asked to like do anything like really crazy. Other than, like, getting a phone call saying, like, hey, this happened, and I'm upset, and you're the only person I could talk to about it. Which hasn't happened for a while. And technically, it was Mimi's fault. But I'm kidding, that's not true.
Mimi's gonna show up here and just punch you in the mouth.
I would deserve it. I was so supportive of that and what happened there. Yeah. But regardless. Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's got shit that they deal with and that they struggle with and overcome. I opened the episode with, how are you? I have daddy issues.
I have daddy issues.
You know what I mean? So everyone has shit that they struggle with. And that one for me is definitely it. Because like for me, even though I'm aware that I shouldn't be the one to help, my existence feels validated when I'm helping. You know what I mean? Like, I feel the most alive when I know that I'm helping someone.
And that's all fine and good, but again, there is a line where it becomes almost like a... I mean, at this point, I think you just admitted it's a pathological need mm-hmm. to help people.
Yep.
And, like...
Yep.
But again, that's also, like, what we were talking about earlier with, like, with your relationship so far, where it's either been that the person is independent and therefore your constant need to support and validate and help them, like, just makes them, like, please, I don't need all of that.
That's never happened.
Well, I mean, I feel like it kind of happened with one person.
Which one?
The one before the last one.
Before the last one, where she was independent and she didn't want it? Oh, no, she just didn't think I was funny. She like,
well, that too.
She like legitimately found no humor in me, and I am a funny fucking guy. And if you don't find me funny, that's gonna be a big problem because I make jokes every 5 seconds. It's a compulsion. And if you don't fuck with that, we're not gonna get good. And then other things happened as a result.
Well, that is, like, another thing, though, that
was also just a bad fit.
Well, it was. But also just, you know, when you end up finding, like, a more independent person, if it's so much, like, you know, being there trying to be supportive because that's what you've always been accustomed to, that's what you've been trained for, essentially, mm-hmm. like, it's gonna make the person be like, oh my gosh, please. Like,
but that's
chill.
Also a communication thing.
Well, yeah.
If you can open your mouth and actually say, hey, I'm bothered by this, I will stop.
Yeah.
Because that is helping.
But
right?
but the more common thing has just been that, you know, you're always there to help, which is great. It's just at a certain point, again, it becomes less helpful and more hindering to a person being able to grow into who they need to be and develop on their own because they have now just taken you under their arm as a crutch because they're like, yeah, my leg doesn't need to heal. I have a crutch.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm just going to let it stay broken and this crutch is always going to be there. And...
I think that's how legs work.
Well, you know what I mean. you get what I'm trying to say.
I know
what
you mean. I feel like the title of this episode should be Tyler Webster, : Is It Possible to Be Too Great?
I hate you so much. I'm going to come up with a title to this episode that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
But no,
time travel back to a point where Tyler was a good guy.
Tyler was a good person. No, but that is a big thing where, like, if you were too much of a crutch and not giving, like, support, but also, like, you know, shoving that person forward and mm-hmm. being like, you know, okay, I support you with this. You know, this is kind of a bad thing, but I don't necessarily think it is. Where, like, you know, if you can be... you know, the bird that throws the other bird out of the nest and is like, I know you can fly, so fly. Like, go ahead. You know, I'm not going to let you stay up here. I'm not going to let you stay here with me. Like, you have to be able to fly on your own without me having to carry you. Like, that has to happen. And I think, you know, I think, like, it really is just who you bring in and being able to, like, control that, like, need to constantly help.
Alternatively, I can carry the bird the whole time until I decide this is too heavy, and then I trade out for another bird.
Well, and then the bird just drops to the ground. You see what I'm saying? Is that it becomes
like... But whose fault is that? Is that my fault for helping? Or is it the bird's fault for not being able to fucking fly?
It's your fault for not, like, showing them how to do it.
Why am I dating a baby bird in the first place?
Why am I dating Tweety Bird?
Dude, I need to be dating birds that can fly.
And yes, that is it. But and that's another thing is that a lot of times...
Also, it's pretty gross to suggest that I would be dating baby birds.
That's why I said it wasn't that great
of a metaphor. I like older birds in the first place.
What is it called? Is it called like a feathery if you're into like birds? Like a furry and a scaly? Is it called like a feathery?
I have the fucking... Why are you asking me like I'm the authority on furries? I don't fucking know.
I'm sorry, you look too much like Russell and we all know he is. So like...
What I just is you would a know. Furry called if they like it's birds? A bird.
Is it a feathery, a talony, a beaky? That sounds bad.
An avian, also an known avian? As featheries. You're being
oh
fucking...
my gosh, I was right.
You just exposed yourself.
I did.
Danielle's
not
a fucking furry, specifically a feathery,
no,
or an avian.
Absolutely not. But no,
we're in your fucking closet. Why? I see the costume hanging up. I'm looking
oh God,
at it.
I
it's a
to
fucking
close that
bird costume.
We started. Oh God, no!
I love how you actually go to close the door when it's your fucking audio recorded closet.
Well, I had to commit to the bit. You know, there was a camera somewhere.
Nobody's watching us.
Oh my!
Thank
God.
You guys so much.
Oh my God!
I think that's a good point to call it. We've just exposed you as a feathery.
Clearly.
We've exposed my daddy issues and the fact that I have a savior complex.
I think we've done
and
good
we did
work
time
today.
Travel. This was so much fun. I enjoyed, let me tell you why, Topless.
See, I told you this was going to be a good idea. I pitched this to him and he was like, I mean, we can try
you
it.
You are fucking taking credit for my idea.
This was my idea, you asshole.
Dude, that's fucking cringe. You're trying to fucking, I'm the one that came up with this.
Okay. Wow.
I'm so kidding. It's not even funny. You ever hear the joke about the gaslighter?
fuck you.
So, thank you guys so much for watching. Always a pleasure having you guys stick around and give us a listen. Be sure to drop a like and leave a comment wherever you can do that. You know, do it. And if
I
you
mean,
can't,
on our social media, you can.
Yeah, you follow us on social media at, you know, the social medias that you're already following. And if you can't follow it, then
if
I
you
mean,
can't follow
you
it, then
care.
You know, just look up. Let me tell you
just
why.
Look up. Let me tell you why. It's the first thing that you find. No, but like, you know, do all the things that you know to do. Really, really appreciate it. Tune in for next week where we put the top. Ick back on.
Put the topic back on
and we're
for
diving,
one that I'm dreading.
Oh, it's going to be so awesome. I'm going to mansplain politics next week. We're going to talk about politics and I'm going to incriminate myself in another amazing way.
It's going to be great.
I can't wait. So stay tuned for next week for that. Other than that, we love you guys very, very much. Thank you for sticking around. And I've been Tyler.
I've been Danielle.
And this has been Wacky.
This has been an interesting therapy session.
Yeah, it's been a nice little therapy session. Bye-bye!